question occurred to me a few moments ago as I was getting ready to come up here, and I need to answer that question for you because I'm sure there's some of you out there who are saying, we are so glad that Donnie Barger is part of our worship this morning and grateful for the way he's led us, but where is Dr. Hutchins? More importantly, is Dr. Hutchins sick? And the answer is no. The reason he is not with us today is a joyful reason, and that is because he and Susan experienced the birth of a new granddaughter this past week, Isabel Kay, a beautiful little girl. And they made the decision that this would be a good day for him to stay away from the rest of us because they're going to get to go see their new grandchild when she comes home from the hospital. So all is well at their house, and we look forward to having him back with us on Sunday worship soon. It's one of the most pitiful cries in all of Scripture. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's such a pitiful cry, and it came from both Martha and then a little bit later, her sister Mary's lips. Two sisters who had sent word to Jesus that their brother was gravely ill. Two sisters who had waited in vain for Jesus to come. Two sisters who saw their brother Lazarus die. And now Jesus had come, but he was only in time for the funeral. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 3 days. They had no doubt Jesus could have done something. Both of them called him Lord. Both of them believed in his power to heal. Both of them knew he could have intervened. But now all they could say was, if only you had been here. These days, I think that's something all of us are dealing with. We're all going through a good case of the if only. If only we had been more prepared. If only a cure could come. If only they would develop a vaccine. If only we could be together at church. If only we could gather together with friends. If only, if only, if only. And underneath it all is one great desire. If only God would step in and make all of this go away. You know, the truth is, we don't always understand the way God chooses to act, or why sometimes he doesn't seem to act at all. It may be that today you're feeling especially discouraged. It may be because of the situation that we're all facing, but it may be something you're facing all by yourself. It may be because of circumstances in your particular life that have nothing to do with everybody else, but it's a heavy burden on your heart. It may be that you're struggling to find your way through something and you're not sure how to find the answers. Maybe you're even watching today and you're dealing with your own spiritual failures. It may be that for a long time you've thought you could handle everything without the Lord, and suddenly you're understanding, I need a relationship with God, and I'm not sure what to do. This morning, I've got an answer for you. It's an answer that comes from the book of John, from the 11th chapter, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. And it may be that if you find yourself in the midst of the if-onlys this morning, you need to hear what Jesus did when he came to that tomb. So let's jump into John together. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 11. Let's look at this passage together. The first thing that we see when we look at this story is simply this. Jesus waited. The word came to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick, not only sick, but with a sickness that had left him close to death. In fact, by the time word got to Jesus, Lazarus' life was hanging by a thread. In spite of the news, John said that when Jesus heard it, he waited 2 more days without leaving the place where he was. His disciples were relieved. They really didn't want to go back to Judea. They understood that was about the most dangerous place that you could go. The last time Jesus had been there, people tried to take his life, and they were convinced if he went back again, they would try one more time and perhaps succeed and taking the life of Jesus and the people with him. They looked at one another and said, at last the Lord has chosen the safe thing to do. And how surprised they were when on the third day Jesus declared to them, let us go to Judea again. Just when they were starting to relax, now, he thought, it's time to go. They didn't understand. They thought, if 3 days had passed, then maybe Lazarus was well by now. There's no need to go, no need to take a chance, Lord Jesus. Stay close to where you are now. What they learned is this. He had waited, not because he was afraid to go, but because it was not yet time to go. Why did Jesus wait? He could have stepped in and fixed everything at any time. He could have spoken a word and healed Lazarus from right where he was. He could have spared those sisters so much grief and so much struggle. But he didn't. The Bible doesn't tell us why Jesus waited, but this is what I think. He didn't go there until there was a need so big that only he could fill it. As long as Lazarus was alive, people could call the healing a coincidence. There would be those who would reject the idea that Jesus was the reason Lazarus had been made well. They would find excuses for explaining why Lazarus' healing and Jesus' presence happened to come together. And so he waited. And he didn't arrive in Bethany until the situation was totally dependent upon his power to save. You know, sometimes when God doesn't act the way we expect him to, we're tempted to offer explanations just like that. We try to explain away why God is not doing what we think God should be doing at the time we want him to do it. We may say to ourselves, well, God's not paying attention. He doesn't know how much we're hurting because if he did, he would stop it immediately. Some may decide he just doesn't care. And there'll even be some who will say, there's nothing God can do about it. The truth is, God often waits until you reach a point where you are totally dependent upon him. Not just in big issues like what is facing our world today, but in our own personal issues as well. There are times when Jesus will wait and watch you go through your answers and watch you go through your struggles and watch you try to find your own solutions, and he will wait until you are totally dependent upon him. That's true of a nation. It's true of a church. It's true of a soul. There are times when we don't understand why Christ doesn't jump in immediately. Why should I have to struggle? Why should I have to question? Why should I have to fear? Why should I have to go through these things? And the answer that he will give you is because all of those things draw you to that point where you are absolutely dependent upon me and only upon me. And sometimes you have to reach a point where you recognize all your hope is Jesus. So he waited. Next, he acted. The Bible describes a lot of things that took place after Jesus arrived in Bethany. There was that conversation that he had, the conversations he had with Martha and with Mary. There was the declaration that he made, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. There was Jesus' grief upon arriving at the tomb. There were the mocking voices of unbelievers. And any of those events are worthy of a message all its own. But one thing is certain. When Jesus arrived, he acted. And when Jesus acted, things happened. He arrived at the tomb. He commanded the stone to be rolled away. He looked to heaven and he prayed to his Father. And he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And it happened in a moment of time. He came forth from the grave. You know, when Jesus steps in, things still happen today. A lost soul is saved. A hurting heart is healed. Real problems are solved. Unexpected miracles occur. Everything changes when Jesus acts in your life. It may not happen the way you expected. It may not happen at the time you expected. But when He acts, things always change. One thing will always be true. When your whole trust is in the Lord, He will do what is right. You can depend upon Him. He will always do what is right for you. He may never explain it. It may not happen the way you thought it should happen. But one thing you can know, when your whole trust is in Him, He's going to step in and He's going to act, and what He does will be exactly right. And when He does, it will be exactly the right time. And when it happens, you will know this is because of Jesus. And there's nothing more we need to know today than that. It is because of Jesus. Today, whatever may be causing you to ask that question, where is God in the midst of this? Why doesn't God do something? You understand, He will do something, and it will be because Jesus loves you, and He cares for you, and you can depend upon His love. So He waited, and then He acted, and then finally, Jesus commanded. The Bible says the strangest thing happened when Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. The Bible says he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. In other words, when Lazarus walked out of that tomb, he had to kind of stumble out because all of those grave clothes were still wrapped around him. His face was still covered the way it had been the day that they buried him. He looked exactly the way he had the last time anybody had laid eyes on him. Why did it happen that way? Surely the one who raised him from the dead could just as easily have freed him from his bonds. After all, in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter, and the description of Easter Sunday says that's exactly what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. So why didn't he set Lazarus free in exactly the same way? And the answer is because Jesus had a different plan. John 11:45 says, He turned to those around Him and commanded, "Loose him, let him go." Jesus challenged those who were present to remove those wrappings covered with spices, smelling of death. They were given the task of setting him free. He looked at these people and He said, "This is where your job comes. This is where you step in. I have brought him back from the dead. Now I want you to be the ones who put your hands to the task and set him free." Even though Lazarus had been delivered from death, he still needed the assistance of others to fully rejoin the land of the living. And what Jesus commanded to those who were present at the tomb that day is exactly what He commands us to do today. He commands us to set others free. Put your hand to the task and show them liberty. Sometimes that comes from sharing the gospel. You have the opportunity to talk to someone about their need for Jesus, and as you share the gospel, you see a life transformed for eternity. And it's the most thrilling thing you could possibly do. And God gives us the ability and the commission to share our faith with other people. He wants us to share what Christ can do for them. He could do it Himself. He could reveal Himself without anybody being involved. But instead, He's called us to the task. Loose him. Let him free. And he also calls us to reach out and touch one another, to act in his name. Where is God in the midst of all of this? And the answer is, God sometimes is in the midst of the hands and the feet of his people. In the midst of the fear caused by this pandemic, I have had times when I was so excited. Every time I talk to someone, they share with me about those who have been reaching out to them and those they are reaching out to in return. I'll ask someone, so what do you need? How can we help? And they'll talk to me about, well, here's the person who has stepped in and they're helping me. Or these are the neighbors that we found and we're reaching out and helping them. Every day our ministry staff brainstorms together about how we can minister to and encourage our church and the people around them. We're so grateful that we hear from you about words of appreciation for this service and for our daily encouragements. And what a blessing it is to be able to be used by God to set people free. The truth is, the Lord is using all of us. We have the privilege of being the presence of Christ in one another's lives. The other day, I was thinking about how God has given us this great privilege to reach out to one another, to share his love, to show his grace. And I was reminded of an old song, of the chorus of a song I learned a long, long time ago. It means all the difference in days like this. It is God's challenge as we loose people and set them free. Listen to these words. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his people, children of the Lord. We share the hope. We share the dream. Believers in Jesus, children of the King. I wonder, could you join us and sing that song right now, right where you are? We are his hands.